Matthew 6, 16. We're continuing through our study on fasting, learning about fasting and why we would do it. And now, as we jump into this, you know, the reason why we wanted to talk about this was because of what we're endeavoring to do is start these churches and realizing, and I just want to kind of keep it before us that we are entering into a spiritual warfare and to not lose sight of that. And that's really one of the main purposes of fasting as you study it throughout the Bible is it's always associated when there's spiritual warfare taking place. So I want that to just be in the back of our minds as we look at this idea of fasting. So here we are, we're in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. The Bible says, this is Jesus speaking right here. He says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, now get this, shall reward thee openly." Now let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord. I ask you just to help give me clarity, Lord. I pray that this can be a blessing to us, Lord, that this can teach us, and Lord, that we would use this, Lord, in special times as a means to seek your face, to show you our seriousness in following you and wanting your will done and even bringing our needs before you, Lord God. And I just ask you to teach us during this time, please. God, help us as we seek to do your will. Strengthen us to do your will, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it says right there, "Moreover, when ye fast." The Bible nowhere commands people to fast. We're not commanded anywhere in the Bible to fast, but it's like just shy of being commanded to fast because he says, "Moreover, when ye fast," it's like he's expecting it. He says, "You will do it." So when ye fast, and he rebukes, he says, "The hypocrites, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast." They wanted everyone to know. So they'd be like, "Oh, what's wrong?" You're like, "Oh, I'm okay. I'm just fasting. I'm just, you know, I mean, that's what they were doing so that people would be like, "Oh, what's wrong with you?" And they'd be like, "Oh man, they're holy. They're fasting." You know, and it's the same thing. What Jesus is rebuking right here is the same type of stuff that it's about to happen now. Did it already start? I don't even know. When did Lent kick off? Did that kick off already? It did, right? 40 days of Lent. All right. What's that? Mardi Gras? I don't keep up with that stuff, brother. I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm not worldly minded like that. All right. That was a joke. But they do that. And what is it? I mean, I remember we grew up Catholic. So as a kid, you know, everyone's talking about, "What are you giving up for Lent? What are you giving up for Lent?" And we'd all give up something for Lent, you know, and then there's the fasting on Fridays. I'm like, fasting from meat, except fish is not meat. I still don't get that one. I don't know how they got that memo from heaven to come down and tell them that after, you know, like 1500 years or something, I think it was even in the 1800s, maybe when that one came down. I don't remember exactly when they changed that, but, you know, ex cathedra. Anyway, but the hypocrites, they made their face of a sad countenance. They disfigured their face so everyone knew what they were doing. But it's not much different today either. I mean, you go into some of these churches and, you know, it's got the stained glass and, you know, they've got the robes on and they look this part of something just holy. And, you know, and then when they come, you know, they walk in from the back and they come in, you know. You know, and it just looks real holy and looks real special. You know, and I'm dead serious when I tell you that's how they come in. They walk in like that and, you know, and they've got all the candles lit and everything like that. And it's just like, everyone's like, "Wow, there's a holy man of God." You know, I joke with my wife, if I got like on a holy t-shirt or something, there's holes in it. I said, "I'm a holy man of God today." Well, I got holes in my shirt, right? I'm holy. I guess with this too, I'm a holy man of God. There's holes in this for the buttons. So I'm a holy man of God today. All right. That's a stretch. Hey, I'm going with it. That's as good as it gets right there. I'm holy, thank God, to Jesus Christ. But hey, they say there's a holy man of God and they looked apart and it's the same thing, the externalism today. That's what Jesus is rebuking right here. Don't be like the hypocrites. They dress up nice on the outside, but inside they're not like that. It's false. It goes on to say, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." What's their reward? Their reward is the applause of men. That's their reward. Jesus says they get their reward. They disfigure their faces and they, oh, it's so hard for me. You know, Christians do the same thing. They're like, it's so hard being a Christian. It's just, oh, the things I have to go through for being a Christian. And everyone, oh, I feel so sorry for you. You get your award right there. The applause of men. See, God doesn't want that for us. He says, but thou. He's making a contrast. He's like, here's what the hypocrites do. The ones I don't like. He says, this is bad. This is wrong. But thou, but you, when you fast. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. Make yourself look good. I mean, if you're going on an extended fast or something, just don't look all sickly and everything. You anoint your head. You know, clean your face up so you can do all that stuff, you know, and look good and walk around just like you're good to go. He says, don't be like the hypocrites. He says, so you anoint your head, you wash your face, that thou appear not unto men to fast. Don't let anybody know you're fasting. And, you know, I know, you know, when someone, if I ask someone, you know, hey, are you eating? And they're like, oh, no, no. I'm like, you sure get something? And they're like, no. I'm just like, oh, okay, they're probably fasting. And I just let it go. Because they're trying not to tell me. They're trying to obey what the scriptures say. And it's just like, just let it go. I know some people, they're like, no, come on, have something. And finally, the guy's like, I'm fasting, okay? Will you back off of me? You know, give me a break here. I'm fasting. I was trying not to tell you. And they're like, oh, sorry. You know, but look, it's not talking about saying something like that when you have to for whatever reason, okay? But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. God says, let it be a secret. I know. I'm watching. Man, isn't that good right there? God's watching. God knows what we're doing. God sees it. Your Father which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. God says, I'm going to reward you openly if you do this. Is he bribing us? I don't think you can say it's a bribe when God does it. Don't we reward our children for the proper behavior? When we want them to do the right thing, we reward them. I remember my wife thought of this when I wouldn't have thought of this. But, you know, when our children were getting potty trained, you know, she'd either buy like a bag of Skittles, a bag of M&Ms or something. And every time they'd go, they'd get a little Skittle, a little M&M. It was just a reward for doing right. And, you know, we still reward them for things if they do good now. It's just more expensive now. It's a little more difficult. I wish it was just as cheap as M&Ms. That'd be great. But that doesn't happen as they get older. They want like $1,000 phones and stuff like that. It's crazy. I mean, that's what they want now as they get older. But, you know, we still reward our children when they do good behavior. We should. You know, we ought to praise them. You know, man, I praise the Lord. We caught our kid doing right the other day. That was awesome. My wife was telling me about it. And I said, oh, praise the Lord. You caught her doing right. You know, it was great. Catch your kids doing right and tell them. Don't forget to tell them. You know, reward them openly as well, and reward them for it. You know, that's what God does. He says, I'll reward thee openly when you fast. So God gives some encouragement to fast. He says, you do it in secret, and I shall reward you. It's a promise. I'm going to reward you. God would not make such a promise if he did not consider fasting important. Why would he tell us that if he didn't think it was important? It is important. Christ never discouraged proper fasting. He rebuked the hypocritical fasting. And he took it for granted that we were going to fast. He was against the show of it. You can see in Luke chapter 2, Anna fasted, Cornelius in Acts 10. And we looked at a bunch of these examples. I mean, I mentioned almost all of them probably. The early church was fasting in Acts 13 and 14. So, why does God require fasting? I like this, what Matthew Henry said regarding fasting. He said, it is an act of self-denial and mortification of the flesh, a holy reverence upon ourselves, and humiliation under the hand of God. It's an act of self-denial and mortification. Dying to self. That's part of what it is. A mortification of the flesh, a killing of the flesh. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. How many of you, your body kind of dictates what you do? Mine does. I mean, in the morning, when it's time to get up, how many of you, your body says, no, let's take another 15 minutes. Does anybody else say, mine likes that extra 15, 30 minutes. That's wicked. This guy. All right. 45. All right. Thank you for some honesty around here. Man, just because you can't sleep. You know, our flesh will dictate a lot of things we're going to do. You know, our flesh will see some donuts out there on Sunday morning, and it's like, I'm just going to get a couple. And then, you know, half a dozen or more later, you're like, man, I probably shouldn't have eaten all of them. I should have let the kids get one or two. You know, our flesh will kind of dictate what we're going to do. Fasting is a means. It's not, I'm not saying that's the only purpose of it, but it's definitely a means to mortify and kill our flesh. Tell our flesh, no, to deny self. If you've ever fasted, you know that it's hard to say no. It's hard to say no. I remember hearing one preacher one time, he said, you know, whenever, you know, every time I would fast, he said, I'd have all kinds of people offering me, hey, you want to go out to eat? It's on me. And he's just like, oh. He's like, no, that's all right. I'm doing okay. Thank you. You know, he says, I'm going to start fasting whenever my family don't have money, when we can't buy groceries. I'm just going to start fasting. Maybe people will bring us some food. But, you know, it is a means of self-denial. And we like to tell ourselves yes. We don't ever like to tell ourselves no. We don't. And we are raising a generation. I'm telling you, there's been a generation raised, and I think it gets, I don't know if it gets worse successively each generation. It sure seems like it gets worse. Maybe, because I remember hearing this stuff when I was a kid too. And I think maybe the crybaby generation eventually grows up and matures. And then they look at the next generation, they're like, they're a bunch of crybabies. I think just every generation just does that, and that's kind of how it goes. But we're going to blame the younger generation, they're crybabies, okay? Because I'm hopefully mostly past some of that, all right? But look, we really are raising a generation that just expects everything and anything. I mean, most of us here, we've been grown up in a microwave society, fast food society. I mean, we get everything we want pretty much instantly. I think it is getting worse just because everything's at our fingertips. We can get everything just like that. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, and if you were watching a show, you had to wait like a whole week for the next show to come out. How many of you remember? Look, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, okay? So this is like pre-salvation, all right? But how many of you remember when, you know, a movie would come out and you're like, man, that movie's good. I can't wait till it comes to video. And then it'd be like 2 years before that thing ever hit the videos. I'm not even kidding. It would be like 2 years. Now it's like, man, it's on video and it's still at the movie theater. I mean, it's crazy. We don't go to the movie theater. I'm just to let you know. But I mean, that stuff, it's just like boom, 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 boom. Everything's instant. We get it all instantly. Everything just right now, we get it. We don't have to wait for anything. So our flesh is always being satisfied with whatever we want. The next thing. Why do you think so many people file for bankruptcy? Why? Honestly, why? Why do you think that happens? Because I want it now. I want it now. I can't have a used car. I need a new car. I can't have a house in that neighborhood. It's got to be in this neighborhood. I can't wear clothes like that. They got to be this brand. So we're just pull out the credit card. I mean, that's honestly, credit is one of the gods of America. And everyone, you know, man, there's so many lies that we've been told, and just feminism has helped to destroy so much. But it says, hey, you know, both, and you hear people say it all the time, you know, oh, you can't raise people off a single income anymore. You can't raise a family off a single income anymore. It takes two incomes. So we're just going to yank mama out of the house. We're going to send the kids off to daycare. Mama still has to do everything that she had to do before, just now she has to work all day, and then she comes home and has to take care of all that stuff now while we're paying, you know, almost more than half of what mama's making now because she's in the workforce is going to daycare to pay someone else to raise our kids who don't love our kids. I just saw an article today about three ladies, where was it? Oh man, I forget which state it was in, but they gave all the kids, the little toddlers, they gave them all gummy worms and they laced them with melanin or something to knock them out, and they got caught. Yeah, so they just all pass out and go to sleep. I said, let me send my kids there. I want my kids there. I'm like, no one's going to love your kids like mama. Nobody will raise them like mama. Nobody. Grandma won't either, by the way. Because grandma will give little brats whatever they want. Mama will be like, no, you can't have that. I mean, that's what grandma does. I can't wait till I have grandkids. They're going to get whatever they want. I'm going to give them whatever they want because it's not going to be. Go home to your mom. Here, we gave them all candy and ice cream. We went and bought a cotton candy machine just to make it for them, and we're sending them home with it. But hey, you deal with them now because they had a great time here and they want to come back. and they can come back. You know, I don't want grandkids anytime soon, but, you know, we don't know how to, hey, ooh, man. All right, we don't know how to deny our flesh because we get what we want. Fasting can help to teach us that. It can teach us and instruct us in that. So why does God require fasting? You know, we can't answer this question fully, but we do know that fasting demonstrates the earnestness and desire of the heart. It shows where our heart's at. It's saying, God, I'm serious about this. And you say, well, God knows our hearts, but He still requires evidence of it. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6. And remember what it said in Matthew 6, 18, that thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Fasting demonstrates the earnestness and desire of our hearts. Hebrews 11, 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God rewards those that diligently seek Him. That's what fasting is. It's saying, God, I need You. God, I need Your help. God, I need Your wisdom. God, I need Your direction. And I'm serious about it. It shows, it reveals our hearts. It's saying, I am willing to put something that I desire to the side in order to focus on You. And God, I need to hear from You. And the Bible says that he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God said if we come to Him in secret with our fasting, He'd reward us openly. Isn't that what we need? Don't we need that from Him? That's what we're petitioning Him for. That's why we go to Him. God sees the hearts of men, but the Bible says He requires open evidence of the heart's desire. In Joel 2:12, the Bible says this, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to Me with all your heart. So God says, turn ye even to Me with all your heart. I want to see your heart turn to Me. Now get this though, and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. So the evidence of the heart being turned to God is with the fasting, the weeping, and the mourning. God says, turn your heart to Me. He says, I'm looking for evidence of it. I'm looking for proof of it. We could see it in Abraham as he offered Isaac. So God knew what he was going to do. Of course God knew what he was going to do. But God still required him all the way up until the point where he was sitting over his son. His son's laying on an altar and he's lifted up the knife over his son's heart and he's about to plunge the knife into his son's chest. God let it get all the way to that point. And God says, wait, wait, hold it, stop. Don't do it, Abraham. Stop. But he demanded that evidence. Here's what he said in Genesis 22:12. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from Me. God wants to see it lived out in our lives. And it's not so much for Him because obviously He knows everything. He knows what we're going to do tomorrow. He knows the right decisions we're going to make tomorrow. He knows the wrong decisions we're going to make tomorrow. He already knows that. I think more so why He does it is because He wants us to see that, oh, in like looking at Abraham, in this instance, he says, God did provide. And I was willing to obey. See, that's always where it comes down to with God. Are you willing to obey? That's faith. Faith says, I will take God at His word. Amen. Nothing's different for us today just because we don't maybe hear from Him how Abraham did. And I don't know how Abraham heard from Him. You know, I know at times He came and personally met Him. And I believe that was the pre-incarnate Christ that met with Him and spoke with Him. But other times, I don't know how if He just heard a voice at that time there in Genesis 22, if a voice just came from heaven as when Jesus was baptized and there was a voice from heaven, this is My well-beloved Son in whom I am pleased. I don't know how it happened. But we just as much have the Word of God today as that Abraham had then. Go with me to 1 Peter, I believe, is what it is. Nope, 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 1. All right, we'll take 2 Peter 1, verse 15. It says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter's saying, I was an eyewitness to it. I got to see it. I witnessed it. It's not cunningly devised fables. It's not a lie. It's not some story that's made up. He says, I was an eyewitness. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. This is talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were there, and he says, I was an eyewitness to that. And I heard this voice from heaven, which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Verse 19, here's what he says, and I get this right here. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. What's he talking about? Peter's saying, what I'm giving you right now is a more sure word of prophecy than hearing God speak from heaven. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We should follow God just the same. That's faith. That's what God expects of us. He still expects us to obey His word. That is living by faith. It's not just blindly doing some foolish thing. No, it's obeying the word of God. That is faith. Us as a church going and starting another church, that is faith. How many of you know who's going to show up that day? Does anybody? I don't know who's going to show up. I don't know if anybody's going to show up. But based on the word of God, we're going to go do it. That's faith. That's what we want to do. You know, I don't know where any of your personal situations are, but there's been a lot of times when I've put money in the offering plate and I didn't know how I was going to pay bills. I said, we're just going to give to God what belongs to Him. We're going to honor God with the first fruits. I stopped even looking at the bills. I'm just like, I got my paycheck. Let me just give God what I committed to Him. Give Him His tithe. I'm just going to give Him that, and then we'll figure out how we're going to pay the bills. And there was times I knew that I'm like, mortgage is coming out, this. I mean, you get to know your bills after a while. You're like, all this stuff's due, and I know how much I got. And it's like, well, all right, God, come through. That's faith. That's faith. And this is how God wants us to approach Him. That's what He expects evidence of our faith. He expected it with Abraham. And that's exactly what our fasting is. It's evidence of our faith. It's evidence of our heart's desire. And we want to show God that heart's desire. And we do that through fasting. We do it through fasting. Fasting can be seen as one way of evidencing the earnestness and sincerity of our hearts toward God in matters of prayer. How long is a biblical fast? The Bible sets no specific time length for fasting. You can see where Daniel fasted for 21 days, Esther and Mordecai 3 days and nights. Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, but the Bible doesn't say how long people fasted. We're not told how long Ezra fasted when he fasted. There's no hard and fast rule. It's just something God wants you to do. I know some people that said, I'm going to fast till the answer comes. Sometimes it's been 3 days, 2 days. Sometimes it's been 3 weeks. There's no hard and fast rule. You do it how the Lord leads.